Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Troy Christopher Plota. He's a world leader within motion art and also the co-founder and creator of Plotaverse. He is a world-renowned photographer as well. He's been in the game for over 30 years. His work has appeared in top magazines including Vanity Fair, GQ, Rolling Stone. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shamira. Appreciate it.
And you know, your bio is so full. I mean, your client list is amazing. Like, I didn't even mention the celebrities that you've worked with, like Heidi Klum, Usher, Mariah Carey, Hillary Clinton, Trump. I am so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And you know, it's funny, just to give the listeners a little bit of backstory, Troy and I have actually met years ago, and it was at WPPI in Vegas. And it was funny because there were a ton of people, obviously, at the show. And so while we met, kind of, but sort of, as in we were in the same room together, but we didn't directly speak. But I remember being fascinated about his work, especially as far as motion art goes, which we're going to talk about that during the show. But when I got the email from his people asking if he could be on the show, I'm like, no way, of course. No way as in yes way. Of course, let's do this.
Awesome, thank you.
Oh, so now that I'm done bragging on you for the moment, I'm excited to hear about your backstory. Now, obviously, I know a bit about your background, but for the benefit of our listeners, could you give us an overview of yourself and your background and how you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I first started shooting when I was 13 years old. Always been more kind of creatively inclined. I wasn't really like a scholastic child. I was, you know, always kind of more drawing or painting, or, you know, I had a, you know, wanted to do sculpture when I was a kid. But when I picked up a camera, I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, I've always been a kind of like an all or nothing sort of guy, and even a kid, really, I guess. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my dad was a sheet metal contractor, Vietnam vet, tough guy. He was like the tough guy. And I was like his artsy kid. So when I found photography, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And, you know, I just literally just fell in love, and, you know, working in the darkroom. And I was really fortunate to go to a high school that had a great photography program and a great photography teacher. And through high school, I just kept moving my way up to, you know, I was like the kid at school with the camera in his hand. And I was newspaper and yearbook, and I did all the photography for those and stuff. So, and after high school, I just kept going with it, and I've never stopped.
And so after high school, what happened?
After high school, I moved to Miami for a little bit and working on my book. And then I briefly went to college, went to a community college for photography, which back in the day was like the number three school in the United States for photography, which was in Florida, Daytona Beach. And then I moved to Atlanta, and that's really the beginning. That's when I kind of like, you know, I fell in love and moved up to Atlanta, and I grew up surfing. So my two passions were surfing and photography. So when I was in Atlanta, I couldn't surf, so I put all my attention in photography. So it was kind of like, it was a good thing that I did that, because, you know, I just, that's all I did was, you know, take pictures. And that's where I was, you know, able to shoot Mariah Carey and Usher and Jermaine Dupri. I buddied up with Jermaine Dupri, and I shot all of his artists throughout the 90s, basically. And so that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you know, building my portfolio, I started working in New York and LA, and then I got represented out of New York, and you know, just kind of kept building from there. You just keep going with it, you know?
Wow. Okay. All right. So I have a question for you. That's quite a gap to be starting off going to Atlanta and then Miami and then working with Jermaine Dupri and Mariah Carey. How did you make that happen?
Okay, that's true. That's a big gap, right? so, okay, here's what I recommend. This is just work for me. Is I wanted to shoot fashion, and I really love celebrity portraits and stuff too. Actually, when I was in college, the brief time I was in college, and I would tell people that I want to shoot portraits. I want to shoot portraits, and people are like, "What do you want to shoot portraits for? That's like so lame." Like, you know, like no, I don't know. I just like to combine. You know, before like back in the day, that was before it was really even known to kind of combine a fashion-esque sort of approach. Herb Ritz was coming up. Herb Ritz was a really big influence for me. He's an awesome photographer. Irving Penn, I really loved his work, and I've always loved black and white. So. Anyways, so when I moved to Atlanta, I started working with the modeling agencies, and I would go in, I would help in any way that I can. I have this, you know, this great story that, you know, I went into an agency called Arlene Wilson, and they were one of the biggest agencies at the time in Atlanta. And, you know, I was 21 years old. And I'm, you know, I'm in the office, I'm standing there waiting for a meeting, and everybody's busy, they're on the phone, the calls are coming in for the models and stuff. And I'm kind of just observing, you know, like looking around. And their portfolios for the models were like a mess. They were just kind of like, I would notice like as a call would come in, they have to send a book out to, for a job for a model. They couldn't find the book because it was a mess. So I was standing there, and they kept delaying my meeting. So I started organizing the books in alphabetical order, A to Z. And so one of the agents, they're like, "That's a great idea. Look at this guy. Who is this guy over here?" You know?
Wow.
And so I'm like, "I gotta stand out somewhere." You know? And so a call came in. I'll never forget this. Call came in. One of the agents was like, "Hey, you're a photographer, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Well, I have a girl that I need to have tested. Are you available tomorrow to do a test?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, let's do this." So that's kind of how it started. So then I shot the test, and then of course they liked it, and I kept getting better and getting more models in and befriending, and relationships are so important. So of course I start, you know, befriending the agents and the models and that sort of thing. And then, you know, you got to be a good photographer on top of it. So it's just kind of rising to the occasion. That's the beginning. That's kind of how I started with the modeling agencies.
What I like about that is that that is a prime example of you creating your own positive fortune. I hear so many photographers, and not just photographers, but I guess you could look at anything, and I'm guilty of this too, where you look at someone who's successful and you go, "Oh, they're so lucky. Oh, I wish that could happen to me." But there's so much more that goes into it. And I firmly believe that in a way we create our own luck, if you want to call it luck or fortune. But a big prerequisite of that is showing up. You showed up and you made yourself helpful, and you took the opportunity to shoot this test when it was presented to you. And I think that's so important, because I know many of our listeners are just starting out. And I remember how I was when I was starting out years ago. I've made every mistake in the book, which I am not shy about talking about that on the show. But, you know, it's easy to send out emails or just kind of try to hide behind the computer. But a lot of times you have to show up in person. Put yourself out there. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't think there was, I'm not sure if we had email back then. So it was about relationships. Right. So important.
Still and true today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And being a good photographer is a part of it. Like, to be honest with you, like it's just having the people skills and building the relationships. That's more important. It's so important to have that, because you can be as good as you want as far as photographer goes, but if you don't have those relationships, then it's kind of pointless, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And that applies to any type of photographer. I've shared this story, I think, on the show before. I was talking to a friend who had she had just gotten married, and she had posted these amazing photos from the wedding photographer. She had gotten the permission, of course, and paid and all that stuff. But I saw these beautiful photos pop up on Facebook from the wedding. And then I saw her in person and I said, "Oh, your wedding photos were so amazing. It was great." And she was like, "Yeah, but it was a horrible experience with the photographer." And I'm like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, the photos were all right, but the photographer got in a fight with my grandmother." Not physical fight, but like, arguing. It was someone in the family, grandmother, father-in-law, someone. And that's what stuck out in my friend's mind. Not the amazing photos, but the unprofessionalism of the photographer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then you basically got your foot in the door with this modeling agency, and then you got more work from them. Is that how you got your momentum started?
Yeah. Well, then, of course, then you go to Elite and you go to L'Agence at the time, and you go to the other agencies, you start expanding and making more friends. And then all of a sudden, somebody's buddies with Jermaine Dupri. I don't even know how I hooked up with Jermaine Dupri. Actually, you know what's funny? So Jermaine actually has one of my shots tattooed to his chest.
What?
I did at the time. I did this shot of my wife at the time pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I had this big print up in my studio. And Jermaine was like, yo, man, I really love that shot. I want you to shoot. I would love to get a shot like that of me with my daughter. And at the time, his daughter was really young. Like, I'm not sure if even infant fertile. But so then I shot him with – it was like this pattern. Like I shot the light through and it was kind of like this pattern sort of thing. And then next time he came over to my house and I was shooting, I think, a little Bow Wow or something like that back in the day. And we're sitting on my couch and every other music video Jermaine was in. And I'm like, dude, like what video are you not in? Like the guy is really amazing. And he goes, yeah, check this out. And he shows me his tattoo on his chest. Like, I got a tattooed your picture to my chest. I'm like, oh my God, look at that. It's so cool.
The highest compliment.
I know, right? That's so cool. And then I was thinking back in the day, like when he was Janet Jackson, I was like, gosh, I guess Janet Jackson looks at my picture every day. How cool is that? Oh man, being a photographer is just a wild career. It's like, you know, it's just so many, and that's half of it as far as being a photographer is the relationships that you make and the experiences that you get and places you get to go. Like a lot of things I've done, like how could you ever have done this without having that component of being a photographer in your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so listening to you talk, I hear your passion and your zest for the industry, which I love. I love it. And that's a big reason why I started this podcast, was to have an excuse, a convenient excuse, to talk to cool people like yourself. And so in listening to you talk, it's almost, I could almost believe that this all came naturally to you. It was all unicorns and rainbows. There were no struggles getting your photography business up and running. And so my next question I like to ask our guests, because I just want our listening audience to understand how our guests have overcome any struggles or issues. Did you have any struggles getting your photography business up and running? Like, could you highlight one and how you overcame that?
Yeah, just even for starting, like, you know, in beginning. And here's the thing, though, is this is my passion. Like, I live to shoot, and I live now even for motion art and what we're doing, kind of combining all that stuff. But so when you say a struggle, I don't know. It's like I don't have that many thoughts of, as far as like hardships, although the whole thing could be hard, but I'm getting to shoot for a living. Like, what's better than that, you know? And if you have just like a regular job or something, you know, or a boss that you really can't stand or whatever it might be, you know, that's a struggle in itself too. So like, what do you want to be in control of your destiny, or, you know, it just depends on what you want and how bad you want it. The whole thing is a struggle. The whole thing, all the way through. And you have these really amazing points, but it's like life. It's like, you don't remember really the bad things so much. You just remember the good things. At least that's how I like to think of things.
Okay.
And you know, I've, you know, started off like, okay, let's start talking struggles. I was literally, you know, graduated high school, wasn't really ready for college, didn't have the grades for any college. And I was 17 years old, and I was kicked out of my house for wanting to be a photographer. My dad was like, I was assisting one of the top photographers in the Tampa Bay area where I grew up and making pretty good money. And my dad was like looking at me like I was like the biggest loser ever. Like, you want to be a photographer? Like, what, have you lost your mind? Like, so basically he said, get the F out of my house. He goes, get a real job or get out of the house. So I was like, see ya. Middle of the night, my buddy and I, actually I had a friend of mine who had a similar sort of thing. So we packed our stuff middle of the night. We were tail lights. There's no such thing as a cell phone back in the day. So we just went, I had $300, and we were homeless actually for a little bit. I was eating out of dumpsters. Oh. Both of us were, and we had a buddy named Dumpster Dave who taught us how to do it. And I was shooting on the side. We had an apartment. We scraped up the money for apartment. We talked our way in because I told the manager I was going to take pictures of her dog.
Wow.
So, yeah, the whole thing's a struggle. There's no such thing as like, oh, my gosh, I'm shooting Mariah Carey or or Clinton or Trump or, you know, or this year, Cardi B and Sting and Pink. And, you know, those are just the rewards for in between your struggle. You know, those are just like the cool things that you get to talk about, and all the other things, like, you don't want to talk about being homeless and eating out of dumpsters generally.
I appreciate your honesty and that vulnerability. And, you know, I found it's one of the things that our listeners and myself, we like to hear, because it certainly makes you sound more human.
Because, well, when you're in it and you're back then, I guess that's true, because you're like, oh, so this is just a part of the process.
Right.
And keep going. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. You know, in photography now, it's changed so much from back in the day. You know, it's like we have all these other components now. Now we're competing with video, because before it was like there was no such thing really as a full professional video suite that now you can almost do on your phone, which is like unheard of. You know, but things have changed a lot since back then.
Well, then,
but it's the same struggle. It's the same thing as far as like, what am I going to do to stand out? What am I going to do to create those relationships to bring everything next level?
And this brings up a very, very important point. Let's pause and talk about that for a moment. So a common struggle that many photographers write to me about, email, even just face-to-face conversation. I was talking to a friend yesterday who's a photographer, and I've struggled with this myself. There are a million of us around. We lurk around every corner as far as being a photographer, not to mention the people who buy an entry-level, super cheap DSLR, or just they have an iPhone and they hang up their shingle and say, I'm a photographer, and then, you know, put out this work. So how do we stand out? How do we get our work to stand out among the zillions of images on Facebook and Instagram and social media and TV, billboards, magazines? How do we stand out?
Okay, so I'll fast forward through that part of the story and go to a few years ago. Sasha and I, we moved to Italy for a little bit to shoot a project.
Mm-hmm.
And when we moved back to New York City, the industry in a short couple years, now I wasn't fully in Europe for a couple years, but the industry changed so much, Shamira. It was like shocking. It was like the day rates have come down, and you're seeing a lot of our budgets now being moved to video.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been animating images, and I've been doing GIFs since the 90s. Like, I've been, you know, doing GIFs since the 90s, then, you know, 2000s, animating images. You're able to do it through multiple different various apps, and it was really difficult and stuff. But I knew this was coming up because Facebook started including GIFs a few years ago, and then they started looping MP4s, and you're like, okay, this whole animating images thing is going to take off. So I sold all of my gear, literally all my gear, all my lights, not all at once, but we had this concept, and to pay for the code, Sasha and I just went full force into creating the first app, which was Plotograph. And that was the image animation app. And that's when we first met a few years ago in Vegas. We were literally still in beta, about to come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we had a meeting with Trey Ratcliffe at the time, actually.
Right.
And that's sweet, which was really cool. And Trey was very helpful for us. And
he's awesome.
Super great guy. Yeah, he's awesome, awesome. So I went full steam ahead. I said, listen, video's taking over. Stills are not getting the value that it used to be, even with stock or whatever it might be. So I'm like, I've got to create this for the pros. I have to create this tool to be able to compete within the realm of video. And just knowing that basically the millennials and even Generation Z now, they want to be entertained quickly. Like, you got to get their attention. Mm-hmm. And stills, a lot of times, just don't do it as much as the video is going to do, of course. That's the facts. That's not even disputable at this point, because there's so much data on it now.
Mm-hmm.
So an animated image, and even an image with an overlay on it, whatever it might be, just is another tool to add to that visual component, but also a way to compete within the video realm and with the brands and agencies who are now trying to get the attention of the short span of attention that we all have, because we see thousands of images a day. So what are you going to do to make it stand out? Photography wise, most everything's been done. Like, you know, I've been doing this a long, long time, and there's rarely a time that I go, oh, I haven't seen that before. You know, so if you can add a motion component to it, that's what I now have a passion for. Like, I literally have as much of a passion as I did for shooting back in the day when I first started. That's mm-hmm. how the passion that I have for motion art and seeing how it's helping you know, our customers and even myself as a photographer and visual artist and stuff like that. So that's been my passion.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And so for you then, you found that by animating your images with Plotograph that they were able to, you were able to make them stand out.
Yeah. Yep. And since we've launched, we're now the top five recommended apps by Facebook for their ad platform. And we're now a badged marketing partner with Facebook. So they know the stats. They have all the data. If anybody has the data of what the heck goes on and what's going to be visually appealing and what's going to sell, Facebook has the stats. And so I knew it, though. I've known this for like a long, long time. And for a long time, nobody believed me. It was like, sure it is, Troy. Yeah. Or like, that's not real photography. You're, you know, animating an image and having components move and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I used to have arguments with, I had an assistant in particular in the mid-90s when I first started using Photoshop. He was like, that's not a real photograph. You're not a real photographer if you use Photoshop. And I was like, dude, whatever. This is another tool. It's a tool in the belt of photographer to be able to, you know, make things better, perfect it, to really get your vision. Because we all have this thought as far as what we want. So now it's just creating the tools to get what's in your head out. So now we have all these extra little tools to play with, which is really cool.
So for people who haven't seen this, I'm sure they're curious and trying to picture this in their heads. Where can they go online to find the images that utilize the Plotograph app?
The fastest way is on the App Store or Play Store, just searching Plotiverse. So you pull up the Plotiverse app. That's our social platform that also houses our other apps. So anything within the motion art categories, we're actually making apps for. Plotograph is our claim to fame. We went to number one in the App Store last year with Plotograph. Mm-hmm. And right now we've got Kim Kardashian, we've got Paris Hilton, we've got Shaq, we've got lots of celebrities using Plotograph. I think Paris Hilton almost every day posts a Plotograph. And then when Kim Kardashian posted, we're like, yay, Kim posted.
Right, you know, it's powerful stuff right there. Like,
however many followers she has or whatever, you know. Right. But and part of our problem is most people have probably seen this. If you're on Instagram, you've seen these images before for sure. But our problem is the photographers don't want to tag it because they call it, it's their secret. Or it's,
okay.
Yeah. So it's like we're trying to battle this whole it's magic thing, you know, funny. It's not magic. It's Plotograph. Come on. You know, so I'm out there just, you know, talking about it and trying to help artists as much as I can to get out there and, you know, and animate their images. Now, not every single image needs to be animated or looks perfect animated, but a good portion of them, and you're going to find that you get a lot more engagement off of an animated image. Actually, after we met, after being out of beta and then we were finally launching about 6 months later, Photoshop did, one of our ambassadors did a takeover for Adobe's Photoshop's Instagram page. And he posted his Plotograph of the same exact image that he posted a few months before. So Adobe Photoshop posted this image. He reposted it animated and got over 300 times more engagement off more comments than the initial one. We broke Photoshop's record on Instagram at the time for how many comments they got off of one image.
Kidding.
Broke the record.
Kidding.
Instagram. Like, I mean, you know, so anytime anybody wants to argue with me or talk about like, oh, you know, like, come on, like here's the numbers. I don't even believe, like, here's the stats. People just want to be entertained. They want to see something moving. They want to, now that we have digital screens and most of the images that we're looking at are digital, it doesn't have to be still. So that's what's fun. And once again, it's like saying not every image should be animated, but a lot of times you're going to find that like, wow, I have this really cool image of even, you know, or whether it's organic things like clouds or water or whatever it might be, or anything. Now we can actually animate stairs or even hard lines to bring things into a surreal sort of mode. It just gets more attention. And that's why we created this, is for artists and photographers specifically to really be able to stand out and have another tool.
Well, you know, it's stunning because even just looking at the images right now, it makes you want to stare and stare and kind of fall into the images. Where's the best place for people to go online if they want to check out images utilizing this?
Well, Instagram, gosh, let's see. We have our Plotiverse account, Plotograph account, Paris Hilton posts on a daily basis. And actually on Instagram now, you could actually follow a hashtag of Plotograph. That's actually a great place too, because then it'll just pull up most everything that you're going to see is Plotograph. So following the hashtag of Plotograph on Instagram is a great spot. And then part of my other job is educating people the difference between a Plotograph and a Cinemagraph. And once again, a Cinemagraph, which I've been doing for a long time too, that's video based. It starts with a video.
Okay.
And there's a lot right now. It's I have my first episode that I'm doing called The World of Motion Art. And it's a channel that I'm putting on Plotiverse, and it'll be viewable on YouTube also. But it's the Wild West. We have a new way of presenting work in images that's never really existed before, because of the digital component, and because now that social media actually auto loops MP4s, we're within a couple of years of this being a whole entire new way of looking at images.
Wow.
So I'm putting out as much technical data as I can to give the correct data, because there's so many like app companies out there that are trying that don't really know what they're doing, to be honest with you. you know, coming from photography and going into the app world, I have no background in building apps, and that's, once again, I think partly why we're really good at it is we don't have any preconceived notions. We went to number one in the app store, and nobody on my team's ever been in this business before.
Wow. That says a lot. So,
yeah. But what happens is a lot of the app developers aren't from photography. So a lot of the data that, say, new photographers are getting right now isn't correct. And it's driving me crazy, because it's like you have app developers who are really good at developing apps, but they don't really know what they're doing. So they're making stuff up. So it's our job, and it's my team's job now, to kind of get the correct data out there. And so when you step into a professional realm, you really know what you're talking about. You know how to deliver images properly within the right file formats. A lot of times too, when you're animating images, if you're animating for like a big screen, like if a big presentation that's going to be shown like at an airport or whatever it might be, you want the animation to be thoughtful. You want it to be kind of slower and kind of like in a cool sort of way, because you get to see it big. If you're animating for your phone, for Instagram, let's say, you got to speed it up, because that same speed of that animation, you'll barely see it on your phone. So there's a lot that goes into it. And there's a lot of nuances that can really make you a good motion artist. And that's one of my job now in life, is to educate people on how to do that properly and how to monetize.
And you actually just kind of hit on the next point that I want to touch on as far as monetization goes. But before we do, I just want to take a second and really encourage our listeners to check this out, because it's a cool way to make your photos different. And it's fun. Having fun is something that, unfortunately, when many of us start a business, as far as a photography business, and you get into the daily grind, sometimes we forget how to have fun. And I've been there as far as feeling burned out. And so this is a cool, cool tool that is fun, and it'll help your work stand out. And so, you know, next I'm curious, Troy, then monetization. How can we as artists, how do we monetize our passion?
Okay, so let me give you a perfect example. Is I've met with Adobe Stock, I've met with Getty, and we've gone over like, you know, what can we do? Stock prices have come down. If you go on Adobe Stock, I think you could buy most all their images are $9.99 per image. It used to be thousands of dollars per image back in the day, you know? So you've gone from thousands of dollars per image to $10, and the artist is going to get not much of a cut of that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what Adobe's cut is or Getty and stuff, but here's a perfect example. A still image is $9.99. A 4K video file is $200. $200. You 20x the value of your images by animating them. It's just, that's a perfect example right there.
Wow.
So with our pro version of our software, you can animate and then export at 4K. So now you have this B-roll that once again stands out. It's photo-based. You don't have to pick up a video camera if you don't want to. And it's just another way for you to kind of like specialize or if you're beginning. So if you're beginning and you start off animating, you're going to actually be able to leapfrog over a lot of photographers who've been doing this for a long time, who just have that kind of standard way of showing stuff. So let's say you're a wedding photographer. I would start it off. This is what one of my suggestions is. Include it in your package, like put it on your website, include an animated image. Now, Facebook actually will allow for you to have a looping MP4 as your header image. So say you have this looping MP4 and a bride, you know, is interviewing 10 photographers and they go to you and they say, wow, okay, this is cool. You have great photography and this whole moving image thing. I've seen this. This is what we hear. We see it on Instagram a lot. We see it on Facebook. And as photographers say, I'm going to include one of these in your package. Okay. And when you give them their images and they post their images on Facebook or whatever it is of their wedding, and that animated image by far is going to get more comments and more views than the stills. Hands down, that's the stats. That's a fact. And then, so they come back to you, oh my gosh, I really love this animated image. They start recommending you to their other friends, but then they say, I want more. I want more of these animated. Now you start monetizing, start coming up with a, you know, whether it's $100 you want to charge to animate or $50, depending on how hard that animation is going to be. A lot of time, it's going to take you 5 minutes to animate the image. So this is another thing that you can sell. It's another thing to differentiate yourself from the rest of the photographers that might be in your area.
I like that. And so I love the idea of using it for our own personal or for our own businesses, but also so stock, just to back it up to the stock sites like Adobe Stock, you can use these images on stock sites too.
Yeah. Yep. You can animate the images and, you know, depending on how you want to export them, we can export as little as half a second or 6 seconds is kind of standard. It's just another way to put it out there. Now we're setting up right now to actually have our own stock program in Plotiverse.
Okay.
And so where you would actually be in control of it. You control your own marketplace. So I think that's the future of as far as what's going on with stock and with artists. Because now you have Getty and you have Adobe, and they have millions and millions of images, but they built their whole program based on initially thousands of dollars per image, hundreds of dollars per image. Now it's like $10 an image, so it's not as motivating. Like, I'm not that motivated to go out and shoot today and make $10.
Yeah.
You know, no, not even make $10. You know what I'm saying, for what you're going to submit. So, you know, it's the motivation as far as getting photographers to create great content. And what I'm saying, what I'm doing even personally, is helping artists to animate images and present them, you know, in a way, a Plotograph way, so that way you can monetize and you're selling it as a 4K file instead of just a traditional still.
This is cool. This is cool. I love the idea of keeping up with the latest tools and trends. And this is so fascinating. I remember when we met or indirectly met years ago, I was trying to wrap my head around, you know, what was this app that I had never doing this thing I had never seen done before and staring at these images that were somehow magically moving. And how cool. I'm really going to have to dig into this myself and have some fun with it.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes. And so we're coming up on the end of this podcast episode, which always makes me sad because I feel like we could nerd out about this like all day.
Totally.
But I'm curious then, is there a particular photography resource, a tool, online course, book, whatever that you would recommend to our listeners to help them with their photography businesses?
Well, I just noticed that Chase Jarvis has an app now. And I started to listen to one of their demonstrations or so that seemed like a really cool one. I think something live, or are you familiar with that one?
No, I'm not. I'm going to have to look into this.
Yeah. Apple featured it a couple months ago when they released, and I was like, wow, Chase seems to do a really good job of that stuff. So that's one. I'm out of that realm, you know. I'm more on the other side of it. I'm actually creating my own show right now called The World of Motion Art.
Okay.
And it will be on Plotiverse and it'll be on YouTube also. And my whole thing is just about, you know, image animation and motion art and how to kind of stand out in this particular realm that kind of, it sits in between a traditional still photograph and a traditional video. And that's kind of where my focus is right now. But yeah, that's my Chase Sharp's would be my answer.
How cool. How cool. Well, before we wrap up the interview, tell us where we can find you online.
The best place is on the Plotiverse app, at Troy Christopher Plota. I think I'm up to 1.5 million followers so far already on that. So that's kind of the best place to reach me.
Perfect. And I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well. How cool. Troy, this has been amazing. I really appreciate it. I want to thank you for coming on the show and just chilling and chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you, Shamir. I appreciate it.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.